We're working it out. Amen. See, this is the thing. With God, God is always working things out for the better. He's always at work. And we want to give him time to do what he does. Amen. And all through the service, Pastor Lacey's ministering this morning, the word. And I'm telling you, it's going to change my life. Her message is going to change my life. Not her herself, but the anointing and the gift on her is going to change my life. And I'm ready for it. Amen. I'm ready for it. The word is going to change my life. God's spirit is in this place. God's spirit lives in me. And as the word goes forth, it's going to start working in our spirits to change our lives as well. Amen. God is working. God is working all things out for good to those who believe. Any believers in the house today? Amen. Hey, amen. Amen. Because once you say, I believe, you better watch out. You better watch out. You enter into a life of the kingdom of light, and it illuminates everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly come forth. And the bad and the ugly have to go, and more of the good enters in. Amen. Amen. And that's what's going to happen to you today. You're going to be empowered. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be blessed and edified. And you're going to walk out of this place today on fire for God. Excited that the Lord is with you and he is for you. Amen. That you're a child of God. That you're a child of the King. Amen. It's going to get on the inside of you and it's going to start changing your life. Amen. So why? Why does the Lord want to do that? Not only to bless you, but to be a world changer. He wants you to change the world around you. And he places his power in you to do that. Amen. But you must first receive it yourself. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 26. Again, Pastor Lacey is going to minister today the message, but I'm going to share on the offering. And the more I study, the more I realize that all scripture is all tied together. And you can't take one subject out and build something off of one subject. They're all tied together. So when you study out finances and the blessing of God, you get into obedience. You get into love walk. You get into faith. You get into prayer. You get into seeking the Lord. All these things flow together. And you think to yourself, how in the world does all this operate? God's design. God's design. Genesis 26. You think, well, that's the Old Testament. That's not for me. Oh, yeah, it's the book of beginnings. When you understand Genesis, you understand the kingdom of God. Amen. It's his design. And Isaac understood this. And as I go here, you'll read in verse 1, it says, there was a famine in the land. Well, let me welcome online. Welcome you guys online. Thanks for joining us. Genesis 26:6. This is Isaac. Verse 1. There was a famine in the land. Everybody say famine. Famine. All right. So you can make a decision based off of that word famine. Are you going to accept the famine? Or are you going to say, nope, the famine is not mine? Amen. See, this is what I'm getting at. When you read scripture, when you look at life, every portion of life is a decision. Whether it sounds like we're feasting or it's a famine, that doesn't sway what the kingdom of God says about you. You understand what I'm saying? So as a kingdom person, as a child of God, it doesn't matter if you read about the famine or you read about the feast. Either way, God's going to take care of you and God's going to make a way. And you have to make that decision on the inside. Isaac said, well, it's a famine. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you what Isaac did, because he did not let the famine dictate who he was. He did not allow the famine for him to become part of the famine. You must make the decision. I'm not going to let the world dictate who I am. I'm going to let God dictate who I am. And God says I'm an overcomer. God says I'm victorious. God says I can sow in a famine and reap. Amen. God says I can sow and I'll be taken care of. God says I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Amen. That's what God says. If you're blessed going in and blessed going out, it doesn't matter if there's a famine or not. If you're already blessed, you don't have to worry about the famine. You're taken care of. See, the problem is when you hear the word famine, you think about the natural and the needs that you have. Well, if God shall supply all of your needs, famine doesn't affect you. Amen. Famine doesn't affect you. I'm getting somewhere. Everybody say, get somewhere. Ahern, you're there. You're there. Amen. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. So we have here famines come and go. See, there was a famine, then it went, and another famine came. So we can't neglect the fact that hard things come in the natural. Things will come, things will go. Life goes on. Amen. This life is but a vapor. We have hard times, we have good times, all that. There's times of happy, there's times of crying. There's times of mourning and grieving, and there's times of rejoicing. But that's all on the external. You understand what I'm saying? On the inside, as a child of God, your spirit is full of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, the joy of the Lord. So that doesn't go up and down with the famines and the struggles. You are settled on the inside. I'm a child of God. Your inheritance, you as a child, does not change based off of what happens around you. You understand what I'm saying? You understand it online. If your last name is Smith, it's Smith. Just because somebody calls you by a different name and says, I thought you were a Jones. No, sorry, I'm a Smith. Right? That doesn't change. That's who you are. That's your family. I'm a child of God, whether somebody says I'm a child of God or not. I'm a child of the Most High God. Jesus' blood flows through my body and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I am a child of the Most High God, whether anybody else sees it or thinks it or calls me that. All right? Amen. So that doesn't change. So a famine should not change you. That means what we're going through today in this society, in this culture, should not make you move in any way, shape, or form. Just do what the Lord's telling you to do. Amen. And you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. So we go on. Verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. So there is direction in the midst of a famine. Notice what it says there. The Lord appeared to him. Just because things are tough doesn't mean the Lord pulls away. The Lord still speaks to his church and his children. Whether it's famine or whether it's feast, whether it's a rain and storm outside or whether the sun's shining, God's still speaking. He's still giving direction. You say, what does this have to do with offering? You're going to see. God speaks to his people. You may be like, I don't have much of an offering. Guess what? God's going to tell you what it is that he wants you to do with what you have. Whether you're feasting or whether you're in a famine, God's still going to speak to you. Amen. He does not neglect talking to his kids. He loves talking to his kids. Why? Because he has direction for them. He has something for them to do. Amen. Each of you has something God has for you to be doing. Amen. Goes on. He says, live in the land which I shall tell you. You got to get these points on the inside of you. Obedience is the key to feasting in the midst of a famine. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. All right, in 1 Kings, Elijah, it talks about the brook dried up. The Lord spoke to him, okay, now it's time to go here. And he had provision for him. There's obedience in that. Watch this now. Remember that. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in the land and I will be with you and bless you. Remember, they're in a famine. So he's telling them, this is where I want you to be. This is where you need to stay. This is where you need to operate out of. In the midst of a famine. That's like telling Isaac, I want you to go to the Sahara Desert, be there, and multiply and sow seed in the midst of the famine. In the midst of the drought, I want you to be there. You think, oh man, that's good for Isaac, but I don't want a drought. I don't want to be in a famine. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. Be where the Lord's telling you to be and operate in that place because that's where the blessing is. Listen to me. It's not about the land. And it's not about Isaac being special. It's about God being with him. So if you're in a dry place, when God's with you, you have the fountain of life and you have living water. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what the landscape looks like that you're around. It's who's with you. Verse 3, dwell in the land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. You can have a famine, and you can still have multiplication. How does that operate, God? God will operate in the midst of a famine with no problem at all. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac, in his obedience, already knew that the blessing and the provision would already be there because Abraham was faithful to do his part. What you do this day to be faithful will cause the generations behind you to be blessed as well. Come on, grab a hold of this, church. You're going to see something here. Famine does not shake men and women of God. What the landscape looks like, he will take care of you in the midst. And not only take care of you, notice something, he multiplied him. That means there's more than just what needed to be taken care of. Let's skip down to verse 12. Here it is. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Sounds like a blessing to me. This is a famine. This is in the midst of a famine. We don't know what famine is in our culture. When you have a famine, things are rationed, things are cut. This, we don't even know what famine is, and we struggle with sowing. We don't even know what this really entails. When they say famine, when I speak to brothers and sisters that are ministers in other countries, they understand what famine is. They understand what famine is. But I'm telling you right now, God will make a way when it seems like there's no way. Isaac sowed in the land. He did not wait for the famine to end to sow. He sowed in the land that God told him to sow into. And God is speaking to each and every one of you to sow where God's telling you to sow. No matter what it looks like. You sow where God's telling you to sow. You offer, you give where God's telling you to give. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like, because that's where the blessing is. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. And he reaped in the same year. That's pretty quick return. Same year. Same year. And the Lord blessed him. So there's more to a blessing from God than just a financial reward. See, when you sow seed into the kingdom of God, there's blessing in reaping souls. There's blessing and help feeding the poor, taking care of the widows. All the things the Bible says. When you sow seed, it's more than just the return on investment that's coming to you. It's in the kingdom of account that is continually working from that day forward. That is bringing the kingdom of heaven to pass. Your seed has power to bring the kingdom of heaven for generations. What you sow today will affect the generations after you. Hey, I'm telling you right now, and there may be famines, but your family and the generations behind you will be able to walk through like Isaac's walking through because of what Abraham did. Come on, get a hold of this, church. I feel it on the inside. You got to see it, that your seed matters. Your seed matters, even if it looks small in the natural. Your seed has the power to change a generation. To change a generation. Verse 13, the man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. If you can't get a hold of prosperity is for the believer, you missed that verse. Isaac began to prosper. He planted the seed in the family. Things started happening. He continued to prospering until he became very prosperous. That sounds like a prosperous journey. Sounds like increase and multiplication. It doesn't sound like maintenance. It sounds like multiplication. I'm telling you, you listening online, there's somebody online, I feel it. Prosperity, the financial increase is going to take place dramatically this year. Dramatically within the church. Within the church. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Envied him. Do you get what that word envy is? A powerful word. They envied him. That means here we have a famine, and then we have the world around envying Isaac because of God prospering him. So blessed, people got jealous in the midst of a famine. Are you there yet? Hey, in the spirit, look at you, see yourself there. Hey, I got something. I am so blessed that those around me, the sinner down the street is going to be like, how did that happen? How did that happen? Huh? How did that happen? How did that relationship change so fast? This is where it steps over more than just finances. How did that happen? Your family's been dysfunctional for years. Your parents were dysfunctional. And then all of a sudden there's harmony. How did that happen? How in the world did that happen? God? People may look at you and say, you're living in famine. I understand why you're living in famine. And then God shows up. God showed up for Isaac. God showed up. But what did he do? He sowed in the land. He sowed in the land. And that's what brought the prosperity. And he reaped a harvest and a harvest and a harvest to the point where people around him could see it. A manifestation. This isn't just, it starts in the spirit, but it ends up manifesting in the flesh. People will see the blessing of God on you. Amen. But you need to make a decision on the inside before anybody else can see it. That's why sowing. You don't let other people see what you're sowing. Same thing with prayer. When you pray, you don't tell everybody what you're praying. You talk to God and he'll reward you openly, the Bible says. He'll reward you openly. This is what's happening to Isaac. He's being rewarded openly because he sowed when nobody else wanted to sow. He took a step of faith when everybody else was like, it's famine. We're going to die. This is horrible. I can't believe God has put us in this place. Just like the Israelites. Oh my God, let's go back to Egypt. This is ridiculous. He's leading us into destruction. But they want to go back into slavery. But the promised land is right there. Your promised land is right there. You got to step over and see it in the spirit. There's a promised land for you that has provision for you, that has blessing for you. Then when you step over, you make the decision by faith, and then the elders receive the good report. Then others around will see the blessing of God on you as you step over. And that's what I want you to grab a hold of today, is to step over and obey God and do what he's telling you to do. Amen. The promised land is right there to step over into. But it's not something that you orchestrate in the natural so everybody else can see what you're doing. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Your offering, what you give today, is between you and God. Don't give grudgingly or a necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver sees the promised land. You get a hold of this. A cheerful person sees what God's word says about them. Oh God, I see my future is bright. Amen. I see the blessed going in and the blessed going. I see provision. I'm not looking at the famine. I'm looking at the blessing. Amen. And when you can enter that, you give with joy. You give with peace. You give in faith because you're like, that's mine. That's mine. Thank you, Lord. You're revealing to me the goodness of God. I want that. You're not buying God. You're releasing your faith. Notice that there, I don't want someone online or someone here to say, oh, so I have to buy to get to the promised land. No, you step over into the promised land. Just with finances, it's offering and it's giving and it's tithing and it's being faithful to do what God says. It's the faith that allows you to enter in. Caleb and Joshua, they saw what God saw. See, the other 10 spies, they saw famine. They saw lack. They saw inability. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, we're more than able. Hey, that's what you need to say about your life and your finances. Oh, Lord, I'm more than able. You say, well, I'm disabled. Well, you may be disabled physically, but that's not going to last long either. Because your healing is right there when you step over into it. My wife's preaching, so I'm going to, ushers, I'm believing your faith is stirred. I'm really believing your faith is stirred. You got to see it in the spirit and step over in it. and with finances, tithing and giving, honoring God with your finances, being a steward of what God's telling you to do, that is what's going to cause you to enter in. That is what's going to cause you to go from lack to overflow. That is what caused you to get from darkness to light. From hell to heaven. Step over. That's the word the Lord is speaking to me this morning. Step over. Step over. Ushers, you can serve the people. Thank you, Lord. You guys listening online, you can go to our website. You already know it since you're online listening. But there's many ways to give. You can give Venmo. You can text to give 866-863-1948. You can give by check. There's many ways to give. We will not block your giving. Because we know that it's out of faith, and faithfulness to give is where God meets people. He wants to meet you. He wants to meet you today. Step over. Step over. Step over. The Lord's speaking to people online. Speaking to people online to release, to believe God. To believe God. Hallelujah. I'm sharing this to encourage you. It's blessing me, but I want you to know something, that the times we're living in, we need to look to God as our source like never before. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In the midst of famine, I shall flourish. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to give, Lord God. I thank you for the ground in which we sow into, Father God, the kingdom of heaven, Lord. I thank you that it's fruitful and that it multiplies, Lord God. I thank you for every seed sown brings multiplication back not only to the giver, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, but it also exponentially multiplies the kingdom of God. Thank you for souls attached to this giving, Lord God. Thank you for healings attached to this giving. Thank you for ministering the word and teaching the word attached to this. Thank you for spiritual growth attached to this giving. Thank you for answered prayer attached to this giving. Thank you for those called into ministry attached to this giving. Thank you for those that are thinking about serving and wondering where to serve. Lord, I thank you that this seed is applied to that, to produce and multiply the kingdom of heaven. Oh God, what you're doing in the land. Oh God, what you're doing in the land, in the hearts of your people, Father God. Lord, I thank you for multiplication and overflow. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
I was just prepared to let him go ahead and preach. I wasn't sure. It's hard. You can't stop a preacher. That's what's hard. Thunder and lightning. That's what the Lord prophesied over us a long time ago. Thunder and lightning. I actually prayed that on the way. I said, Lord, just let us be thunder and lightning. You know, we're always willing to yield to one another because it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit having his way. Amen. So I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. When we were at conference, the Lord just kept saying to me the word activate. Activate. Who's ready to be activated? Amen. Who feels like they've already been activated into the kingdom of God? Yes. But here's the thing. I prepared this sermon yesterday. I had a title. Then it didn't work. Many of you know I'm a homeschool mom. English was not my greatest subject. But homeschooling my children, I've learned a lot. So every time I have a title, I always go, if you've ever preached to anybody, even shared the gospel, you're always going back and saying, does that line up? Does that line up? Does that line up? So the title that I had, I kept saying, and the Lord was stirring things inside of me. And I kept saying, does that line up? Does that line up? No, it doesn't line up. So I need a different title because my title needs to flow so it makes sense. So this is what I came up with this morning as I'm looking at these things. This is what he's speaking in this time. Be prepared for the suddenlies. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you have had some suddenlies in your life? Amen. Amen. Maybe when you met Christ, it was a suddenly. Amen. Maybe you had an encounter with the Lord and it was a suddenly. What is a suddenly? You're not expecting it. All of a sudden it happens. You know, at New Freedom Church, we've had a lot of people say, oh, your services are so long. Can I just tell you that the conference we were at, if any of you are watching them, we go till 1 o'clock in the morning, from 7 at night until 1 o'clock in the morning, and at 9:30 in the morning till about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then we go back and do it again. When you get in the presence of God, you forget about time. But if you come in thinking about time, then you're going to keep thinking about time. But if you come in and you say, Lord, I'm ready for the suddenlies. And my uncle used to say that the suddenlies happened at 12:01. I grew up in a church that if you went past 12 o'clock, the minister was having a meeting with the board because the board ran the church. And so you were in trouble if you went to 12:01. Because guess what? Nobody wants the Holy Ghost at 12:01. Because it's not a planned thing at 12:01. Because you're stretched beyond. What about a 21-day fast? Try a three-day fast, right? No problem. Get to 21 days. You got a lot of suddenlies happening because you got past where your flesh is. Yeah, yeah. So I'm telling you, there are suddenlies if you're open to the suddenlies. That's right. Because some of us have had suddenlies and we just let them bypass because they didn't fit in our schedule. Yeah. That doesn't fit. You know how many people have said to me, I need to be in church. I need to be here. I need to be doing that. And then all of a sudden, bam, they're gone. Why? Because it doesn't fit in their schedule. And they aren't prepared for the suddenlies. Some people don't want to come to church because they know God's going to get a hold of them and their lives are going to radically change. And they don't want to suddenly. And I'm here to tell you this morning, your life is going to radically change. Your life is radically changing because I've had too many people come to me recently and say, I woke up in a dream and I knew I had to get to church. I don't know why I had to come to church, but something was just pulling me back. The Lord doesn't pull you in closer to him without a change happening. Unless you decide to run the other way. When I was 16 years old, the Lord, I felt this unction. My grandmother went to church, and maybe some of you have heard this, but you need to understand, we all have suddenlies, and it will change the trajectory of your life. When I was 16, I had gone to Sunday school for a very long time. My parents were the drop-offs, right? So they'd drop me off at Sunday school, and then they'd come back and get me. We didn't even go to church, but I needed to go to Sunday school. It's very important. Sometimes the Sunday school teacher would pick me up because we lived in town. Sometimes I went to church with the preacher, you know. So that was about 8 or 9, 10. My parents said, if you don't want to go, because the 10-year-old didn't really want to go to church, didn't want to get up early. My parents didn't go. I love my mom and dad, by the way. And so I stopped going to church. 16, I just felt this unction, like I needed to go to church. Well, my grandmother was the only one that went to church. And when I was little and stayed at my grandmother, she always read the Bible to me. I've shared this multiple times. And I started going to church, and instantly I knew I had to be baptized, and I had to serve the Lord. And just something was always pulling on me to be in church, to be in church. And my parents still didn't go to church. My dad would write the biggest check for the youth group. Let me tell you, my parents were so supportive. Whatever I was doing, they were supporting. If I spoke, they were there. But I went on my own because I hungered for the Lord myself. You have to get hungry. Maybe your family's not coming with you, but it's about you. You have to hunger because I can tell you, if I had fallen, it was like I couldn't stop going. And did I do it perfectly? No. I messed up multiple times, but the suddenlies were always there. The suddenlies of the Lord touching me, my uncle coming down and teaching me about the Spirit. But it was following the Lord and getting in the church and being around the Word of God. And I was taught so much, but nobody went with me. Nobody was taking me. But I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough. So we prepared for the suddenlies. And along the way, I've had a lot of other suddenlies happen. Suddenly, your husband comes home one night and says, I can't sign the deal. We have to leave. And my whole life changed in an instant. Because suddenly, I wasn't taking over my parents' business. And maybe you don't know this, but 3 months after we decided to go to Oklahoma, my dad sold his business. And told me it wasn't because of me. but couldn't help think that it was because I wasn't going to be there. Suddenly, the trajectory changed, but suddenly, boy, it changed in a good way, because that's why we're here today, because of that suddenly. In that John Deere combine, that suddenly, John Deere combines are anointed, by the way, and Pastor David learned that. If you knew, if you're not from a farming community, we grew up, we had a red and green household. So he was red, I was green. But anyway, that's another story. So the reason it's important to understand about the suddenlies is in the next 3 years, I believe things are going to happen very quickly. Yes. We've been saying that. Pastor Rodney said it when we were down there. It was amazing to me, all the things Pastor Rodney was saying that were exactly what we've all been talking about, what we've been getting in prayer. You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking to his people. And it was just confirmation we're in the right flow, in the right river. Literally, we had a conversation with a pastor one day in the lobby. And if you've ever been to the river, you can't hear anything once the music starts. If y'all think it's loud here, just forget it. But literally, Pastor Rodney started preaching on exactly what we had just talked about. I was like, he must have been eavesdropping. Well, if you know Pastor Rodney, he is nowhere to be found when we're out in this thing. I was like, that's the Holy Spirit. The suddenlies are happening. So the next 3 years, you need to be prepared that things are going to happen very quickly. And you are not going to have a lot of time to sit down, pray it all out, all worked out. No, you're just going to have to move quickly. And you have to be prepared. And when I say move quickly, I'm not talking because there's danger. I'm talking that the Lord is going to say to you, do this, do this. And you're going to have to say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice, and yes, Lord, I will go. Maybe it's that you have to homeschool your kids. I've been there. I had to move very quickly. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. A lot of times things come and you don't have the ability to do them. Praise God. Because you have to depend on him to be able to do them. And in these next 3 years, there's going to be things that you don't have the ability to do. And especially when they come to you and you're like, I never would have thought of that in a million years. You usually know that's God, okay? Homeschooling my children was not on my radar at all. But it was the Lord. In the next 3 months, I believe there's time for preparation, that are things are going to be happening. So in the next 3 months, you should be expecting some cleaning out because the Lord is preparing you. In the 21 days of fast, we all got some cleaning out, right? All of a sudden, the Lord is showing us things. Pastor talked about it this morning. Things are being illuminated, things I need to shift. So now you need to ask yourself, am I willing and am I ready? Because it says the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Are you going to eat the good of the land? God always brings things to you to better you, to give you something better. If you're just satisfied where you are, that's a terrible place to be. Because God has so much more for you. And it's not what you can do yourself. You can't do it yourself. But God can do it for you. But you have to surrender to him. So the next 3 months, you need the next rest of your life. You need to do exactly what the Lord is speaking to you. And I'm telling you, it can be the most simplest of things. You need to just go pray with that person. Go ask that person if they're okay. And watch what the Lord will do. Watch what's going to happen. As you follow and obey, you will be blessed. Don't hold back. You cannot fail. Amen. Say it right now. With God, I cannot fail. I will not fail. I'm moving forward. And I'm ready for the suddenlies. Hallelujah. Yes. So let me give you some scriptures here, because I'm going to give you scriptures and we're going to talk about it. And my voice is going to work. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Joshua 2. I even got them all set up here on my iPad so I can go slow, so I don't talk really fast for everybody and blah, 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 blah. All right, Joshua 2:9. Here we go. So, this is what you need to know. The spies went into the land. They're going to take the land. And who do they come across? Rahab. Rahab had a suddenly. If you don't know anything about Rahab, she was a harlot. I looked up the word harlot just to make sure it meant harlot. It means harlot. So I'm not even going to give you the definition, okay? It means a harlot. That's what it was. So, is that where I want to start? Yes. She said to the men who came in, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, meaning their hearts fainted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any of us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Let me just tell you something. Rahab made a decision that she knew, oh boy, they're here. And she decided right then to reverence their God. God has come into your life, and are you going to decide to reverence him? He's got a plan for you. Are you going to decide to say, I'll just let those spies out there? Because listen, she took those spies into her house. She could have been killed for that. They even came looking for them, and she said, they're not here, they're not here. She protected the men of God. You may have a decision to make where you're going to have to protect a man or a woman of God. Come on. Yeah. It's a suddenly. But let me tell you what happened because of what she did. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have and deliver us our lives from death. There's so much packed in here. Split decision she had to make. She decided, these are God's people. I know who their God is. See, if you don't know who your God is, but other people know who your God is, come on, there's something wrong. You're serving the God of heaven and earth. Yes. When you make a split decision, he is behind you. You have to know that. But look, she didn't stop there. Not only do I know your God is protecting me, but I know that you can promise me something and protect me because of who your God is. Yes. Come on. Yes. And what happened to her? Because of her split decision to reverence God, to make a decision to protect these men of God, they said to her, verse 18, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window. Jesus. Ha ha. Who's the scarlet cord in your window? Jesus, the blood of Jesus. There's so much more in there. Oh, through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood should be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. And then in verse 6:17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, in it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Your split decision, your suddenly, could save your whole entire family. It didn't just save her whole family. It blessed the generations after her. Do you know that Rahab the harlot, who was in this city, she wasn't part of the Israelites, she came into the lineage of Christ. This is her suddenly. Her suddenly blessed generations. If you look down in Matthew 1, 5 through 16, and this is a lot of names, but I just need you to know that I'm telling the truth, so we got to go through it, okay? I was going to draw a whole chart, but that was a little too much. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Rahab begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Hello? So we got Jesus in her lineage, and we have King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Rahab, the harlot, was she ever going to be in the genealogy? No, but her split decision and her suddenly to hide those men changed the whole trajectory. Your decision, your suddenly, you listen, me following after Christ is changing my children's 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 children.
Yes.
My grandmother's decision to follow after the Lord changed her children's children's children. Yeah. Do you see? It's a trajectory change. Is it hard in the moment? Yes. Do you think that was easy for Rahab? She said all their hearts have fainted them. They had lost all their courage. I think to hide two spies that are coming in to take out your land is pretty courageous. But maybe to everybody else it looks stupid. Walking away from two family businesses looked pretty stupid to everybody. Yeah. Your daughter had a stroke. How can you leave? You have DuPont, Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Now is not the time for you to go. Not the time. You have the best doctors on the East Coast. These are things that were said to me. You can just stay here. Send David. He should go. No worries. Let David go. You just stay here. And then you can fly to Tulsa to see him. Nope. That's called compromise.
Come on.
The blessing is not in the compromise. Delayed obedience is disobedience. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord tell you to do? Well, I'm too tired to wake up. I work every day. I just can't do it. What did the Lord tell you to do? What did he tell you to do? What are you recognizing? Are you recognizing that God is moving? So I won't go through all those verses, but you get all the way down to the end, and it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. The lineage has to go through the male. Okay? So that's how it came down. So Rahab, in her decision, in her suddenly, quickly, she did not have time to pray. Lord, should I let these people come in my house? No, they're going to die. They're going to die. She had to make a decision now. What is the decision you have to make right now? See, we get very comfortable. Well, this is not intellectually sound. This does not work for my bank account. No. What is the Lord speaking to you? If the Lord said to you, sow this amount, I don't care what your bank account looks like, just do it. Because if you don't do it, your bank account's going to look worse. Yeah. Come on. The Lord has told us to have people come live with us. I'm like, okay. You go up to talk to somebody. I feel like the Lord is telling, yes, yes, I want to live with you. Okay, great. Thank you. That must have been the Lord. And did I have it all figured out? No. I literally bought a bed the day that they were moving in. The Lord just provided everything. But we just have to be obedient in the suddenly. In the suddenly. And not only that, her suddenly encouraged the children of Israel. Because in Joshua 2:24 it says, and then Joshua said, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. There's a whole nother sermon in that about the country being faint-hearted because of us. We are the children of God. His hand is upon you. You cannot fail. Amen. Do not worry about what the world says. The world will become faint-hearted when they truly see. The people that are attacking Israel are becoming faint-hearted because they're not getting anywhere, because those children are God's children. He will protect them and take care of them. Others in the kingdom are blessed when you go. Let's go to Acts 9. You know, we always talk about the conversion of Saul to Paul, but nobody ever talks about Ananias. Ananias had a suddenly with the Lord. Now, if you don't know the story about Saul was persecuting the Christians. He was killing the Christians. He was there when Stephen was martyred. He was part of Stephen being martyred, and he wasn't a good dude. He was very religious. He had studied in the temple. He knew a lot. He was just not a good guy. And for the believers, he was extremely dangerous. He was going from town to town, killing them. So he has a conversion on the road to Damascus. If you ever heard about that, the road to Damascus, that's what it's talking about. And that's in Acts, talking about Saul becoming Paul. So, but here's what we don't talk about. Ananias. Ananias was a disciple. And this is what it says in verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So when the Lord wakes you up, are you going to say, here I am, Lord? Yeah. Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I kind of heard about this guy. I don't think I really want to go. That's my paraphrase. He says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. And that's true. He was the highest to be able to go out, and they called him the way at that point. He had authority to take him out. That was his authority. And now the Lord's saying, go to the man that can kill you and take you out. I don't know about that. I don't know about you, but I think I might have a little pause too. Go to the person that can take you out. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. If the Lord said that to you, would you be like, I can't think of any, I'm not going to get political, so I'm not going to go give examples right now. But if the Lord said to you to go to someone that is blaspheming God, that has been coming against God, and he says, you're supposed to go and pray for him, can you do it? Can you even pray for that person? What about your enemy? Just think about your enemy that has it out for you, that you absolutely cannot stand. But then the Lord says, you need to go and pray for that person. You're like, do what? I don't really want to. They talk about me. They're really nasty, Lord. He says, but I have a plan for them. So now you got to get over the fact that the Lord has a plan for the person that you think is really bad. Then you got to make sure your heart's right. Let's talk about Jonah going to Nineveh. Did he want to go? No, because he said those people didn't deserve forgiveness. Then he got mad when they all repented. Come on. This is the whole thing about the suddenly. You got to check your heart to be ready for the suddenly. Amen. Am I ready? Yes. Not only am I ready, but do I trust what God is saying to me? Because he said, I need you to go to that man because I have a plan for him. Yeah. You're like, I don't know about you all. Y'all are super spiritual. But I sometimes go, I think I misunderstood the Lord. Yeah. I think I didn't hear him right. That can't be. That's just, no way. We are going to see people's lives turn around in the next 3 years because people are going to have radical transformations. Yes. And they may be people that have been killing Christians. They may be people that have done terrible, terrible things. But are you going to be ready to see their conversions? Because the Lord is ready to see the conversions. Are you ready for the suddenly that's telling you to go talk to them? Amen. You know, one of the things that came out in the 21 days of prayer and fasting was, and when I said it out of my spirit, I was like, oh, Lord. The Lord said, it's time to go to the jails. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of people have come to us and said they have a jail ministry and everything. Never produced. But the Lord said, it's time to go to the jails. 6 or 7 months ago, the Lord said, go to the nursing home. They've been forgotten. Go to the nursing home. Go take care of my people. So I go once a week. And now the Lord is saying, we have to go to the jails. There are some people. People are not in jail by accident, by the way. There's usually something they've done. Yeah. But are you ready to see? It doesn't. God's not. Why is God sending us to the jail? Because they need salvation just as much as you do. Right. Come on. Yeah. And God loves them just as much as he loves you. Amen. Think about the thief on the cross at the end. Jesus said, today you will surely be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him all the things he did wrong. He took his love to him. In the suddenly, you have to be ready to take the love of Jesus to the worst of the worst. Yes. Are you ready to do it? Amen. But see, your heart has to be pure. You have to decide, it's not about me. It's about him. I'm ready for the suddenlies because I want to be used by him. But you have to be filled with the word to be ready to go. Ananias was filled with the word because how could he understand what Jesus was saying to him? If he didn't know God, he would have been like, who are you? What was the first thing he said? Here I am, Lord. He was seeking God. Are you expecting the suddenlies? When you go to the grocery store, are you thinking, Lord, if there's someone here you want me to speak to? Those are the suddenlies I'm talking about right now. Right now, at your job, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to witness to? Who is it? Maybe it's right in your house. Lord, how can I show my children your love? How can I show my spouse your love? Whatever it is, you can have suddenlies right in the midst of your house. Come on. You can have suddenlies right there. And Ananias went his way. As soon as the Lord spoke to him, I have a plan for this man, he went. Do you see that? He didn't say, well, I'm going to pray about it for 21 days, figure out what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to make sure it's you again. No, he went. When it suddenly happens, you must be prepared quickly. When I felt the Lord calling me back, I called my grandmother that day, and I started staying the weekend at my grandmother's house. Every weekend, I went and stayed at my grandmother's house to go to church with her on Sundays. I didn't analyze it. My schedule didn't work out. I was like a junior in high school. You know, I had a life then. No, I'm just kidding. I was busy. But I had the purpose in my heart. I was going to do whatever the Lord was calling me to do. And it says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, this is the part that got me. He said, Brother Saul. So he took what the Lord said, and he took it as truth. He didn't say, because he shouldn't call him brother, because the guy's higher than him, he can kill him. But the first thing he said was, Brother Saul. So he automatically saw him already walking in what God said the man was going to walk in, because he trusted what the Lord said. Maybe there's some people that you're ministering to, they look like the biggest heathen out there, but the Lord has said, I have a plan for them. You need to start speaking to them Like God has a plan for them. You need to stop looking at them and what they're doing and the foolishness right now. I know God has a plan because God didn't give up on you. You can't give up on them. So he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came and sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was totally against the Holy Spirit. He didn't even understand Jesus. He didn't believe in any of that. And what's the first thing he wanted to do? Fill him with the Holy Ghost. So the very thing that could get him killed is the very thing that Ananias said, let me do this for you. And Paul freely received. Yes, I understand the Lord went before Ananias and had given him a vision. But the very thing that they were being persecuted for is the very thing that he did for Paul. Laid hands on him, prayed for him, and baptized him in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Because he knew that is what's going to change his life. And that's what the Lord said to him to do. And immediately, there fell from him. If you don't know the story, there were scales that came onto Saul's eyes, and he could not see. So immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales. And I'm telling you, I believe that's a form of religion that breaks off people when the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes. Because it says, immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now, that's talking about getting water baptized, because they didn't do that either. But all of a sudden, he went from attacking to receiving and taking all that God had for him right in that moment. But had Ananias not gone, now who was Paul? One of the greatest apostles. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So was Ananias suddenly important? 100%. We don't ever even hear about Ananias. That moment in time, though, that suddenly changed the trajectory. Do you see? You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing for that suddenly. When the Lord appears to you and says, hey, David, and you say, here I am, Lord. Look out for what is going to happen. And you think, oh, I don't want to do that. Listen, we've said a lot of times, I don't know that we were God's first choice. We were just willing and obedient. You might not be God's first choice. Does it matter? Praise God, he chose you.
Amen.
And you're like, well, I don't know that I really want to do that. You all are a little weird. We are weird. It's okay. You can say it. It's okay. It's good. We're weird. I don't know. That's a little strange. Tell me how your life's going right now.
Good.
Tell me how your life's going if you're not answering the Lord. Tell me how your life's going. Do you have the ups and downs? Do you have this? I'm not sure. Because here's the thing. When you decide to say, yes, Lord, yes, I'll go, yes, I'll do what you asked me to do, then your life just stays right here. Do you have hard times? Sure, but they don't really bother you because you know you're following after God. Can you imagine if Ananias was like, never mind, don't want to do it? Have you ever done that? Never mind, Lord, don't want to do that. For me, it causes a lot of turmoil inside because we've all missed it. If you think I haven't missed it or you think Pastor David hasn't missed it, you'd be crazy. We're human, by the way. We can get up here and preach to you, but we're human just like you. There are moments I've been in the grocery store where I felt the Lord. It wasn't even that long ago. I was in Middletown, and I felt the Lord telling me to go talk to this guy, and I reasoned myself right out of it. I'm telling you, I reasoned myself right. You know, you start thinking about your safety, and you think about this, and then I start making these flee statements like, well, Lord, if he's still there when I decide to get out of the car, I'll know it's you. No, he's gone. Then I had to worry about and had to live with, then I had to repent. And then I was like, Lord, whoever asked. And the very next day, the Lord sent me to somebody else. And I was like running because I hated that feeling of knowing I missed it. I don't want to miss it. You have to be prepared for the suddenlies. And it doesn't fit in your schedule. And it doesn't make sense. Your suddenlies don't make sense. They don't make sense. Anyway, I want to go there. Sorry. Okay. In 1 Kings, and Pastor David brought this up. Let's go to 1 Kings. The reason I'm sharing all these stories is I want you to see. They could have made every excuse in the book. Their lives were in danger. All these things could have happened. But yet they chose to obey and they chose to go. And you're like, well, Pastor Lacey, it doesn't really seem like a suddenly. When the Lord appears to you and tells you to go talk to the person that could kill you, that's a suddenly. That's a suddenly because you did not have it in your plan. Your plan wasn't like, I think I'm going to go witness to Saul. I heard that he's been sick. No, I think I'm going to stay as far away from him as I possibly can. Yes, that's what your thought was. That would be my thought. 1 Kings, and Pastor shared this earlier. Oops. 1 Kings 17. Now, There's so much to unpack in here. And the reason I try to tell you a little bit of the backstory is I realize that we've been reading the Bible for a long time. We've sat under a lot of teaching. And what I realize is not everybody knows these stories that are so common. Some people, they're very common, and some people, they're not common. So if you think, why is Pastor Lacey explaining that story? Because maybe your brother or your sister doesn't know all these stories. And it's important that they get a backstory of it. And I highly encourage you. One of the reasons that I give all these scriptures is because a lot of people will say to me, and I'm going to do a teaching on this on Facebook sometime, about how to study the Bible. Because so many people don't look at the Bible because they just think, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Well, God wrote the Bible for you to have instruction to life. So you can comprehend it. So it's important for you, write down these scriptures, go back and read them. Maybe you've never even heard about what Pastor David was talking about the brook drying up and Elijah. You're like, I don't even know. Well, instead of just saying, I don't know, make a decision tonight, because I'm getting ready to share that same story, to go home and to look it up and read it and find out about it, because it's a good story. You know, it's not just a story, it really happened. So don't be intimidated by the Bible. That's a lie from the pit of hell, to be intimidated by the Bible, because guess what? When you get in your word, you get in your word, come on now, somebody. You get in your word, your life starts changing, because the word is alive and powerful. And if you want to say to me, I don't like to read, I'm not a good reader, another lie from the pit of hell, because God gave you the word for you to read and for you to eat on. So you were created to be able to comprehend it and for it to change your life, because the Bible says to renew your mind by the word of God. So I'm not telling you to be a scholar and be able to translate it in the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying sit down and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, just help me. And start in the New Testament. That's my advice to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start there. Just start there. So everybody at 1 Kings? Good. So this is what happened. Elijah, who was a prophet, the Lord had sent him to a brook because there was a famine in the land. And I'm going to start up a couple verses, and I don't have it in there, and that's okay. So he did according to the word of the Lord. He went and stayed by the brook. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. When you obey the Lord, I think it's a suddenly when the Lord is in a, you're in a famine and the Lord says, go live by a brook, and ravens start bringing you food. Wow. So when you hear people say the ravens are coming, it means your provision is coming. So a lot of people, you'll hear us say that sometimes. That's what the scripture is coming from. The ravens are coming. Your provision is coming. God has your provision. It didn't say he brought him silver and gold, but he kept Elijah alive. So when you're in a place of like total famine, depend on the Lord. He will bring you the provision wherever he tells you to go. And then go a little further. So the brook dried up because there was no rain. And in verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise. So suddenly, the word of the Lord came. Arise. Suddenly. Somebody in here has a word from the Lord that they're telling you to do something. You already know what it is. Why are you thinking it too much? You're thinking too much. You can't work it all out in your head? Great. Don't work it out in your head. If you can work it out in your head, it's not faith. And it's going to change the trajectory of your family. And for some of you, it feels scary to you because you're very analytical. And you're thinking, I just can't figure this all out. You don't have to. Just trust the Lord and go. Just trust the Lord and do it. Listen, a suddenly isn't all, oh, you have to leave your farm and go into the ministry. There's a lot of other suddenlies that happen. Maybe the suddenly is quit your job and go do this. Whatever, great, even for right here. Maybe your suddenly is, I don't know, go teach something. I don't know, but so somebody has a suddenly happening. The Lord has been speaking to you, and you're trying to analyze it. Stop analyzing it, because the Lord is telling you he has blessing in it, and you're analyzing the blessing right out of it. So just don't do that. Because I got to tell you, if I was in a famine and the Lord told me to live by a brook and there was no food there, I could analyze myself out of that, because it doesn't make sense. And women are the best at analyzing things, by the way. So then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to I can't say the word, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. So I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. Now, I sent you here, and there's a widow, and I've commanded her to take care of you. Well, when he gets there, the widow doesn't quite look like somebody that's overflowing. Okay? And I'm laughing because if you've ever followed the Lord, sometimes it doesn't quite look like maybe what you thought it was going to look like. There was many times in Bible school that I said to Pastor David, God did not bring us here to die. Yeah, because it didn't look very good. So it says, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went there, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she went to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I got nothing. That's my version of it. Now listen, she had no problem with the water because she could get to the water. But the bread, oh boy, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little jar of oil. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat and die. And this is who you sent me to, Lord, to take care of me? She's ready to die. Like, okay, all right, boy, shoo. I'll have to think pray in tongues and get myself straight. Lord, you said there was a widow to take care of, but this isn't the right widow because she's poor. And she got to die. So I'm a little confused about this. You know, come on, you got to laugh. If you showed up and you went to the widow that's supposed to take care of you and she says, I'm going to die. You're like, oh, Lord, I hope you didn't send me here to die too. But he didn't send you there to die. So, and Elijah says to her, do not fear. In your suddenly, you must have faith in what God tells you. Because unlike doubtful Lacey, Elijah was not doubtful. He said, do not fear. Actually, I heard Jesse Duplantis say this one time, and I always think about it when I ride on a plane. There was a guy next to him, and he was like freaking out because he, you know, didn't like to fly. And Jesse Duplantis goes, I don't know what you're worried about. I'm on the plane. God's not gonna, we're not going to die. As long as you're with me, we're good. And I thought, I'm going to start saying that because I know who my God is, and he's going to take care of me. So as long as I'm here, you're good. Don't worry. Yeah, come on. So that's what Elijah was basically saying. No, God sent me here. You're going to live because he sent me to you. So you're going to live. Come on. Your obedience in the suddenly could save someone else's life too. Yeah. Not just your family's, but it didn't just save her life, it put her into overflow. See, when we have a heart for other people, I want to see them in overflow. When Pastor Tim and Caleb, Pastor Caleb, I got to get used to saying that, went out for the church, you know the first thing I said when they said they had a building? Praise God they're not starting in their church, their house. Because every person that goes out of here to plant a church, I'm believing every time it's better and better and better. Yes. And they start out with more and more and more. Yeah. Because that's what I want. That's what I want for them. I want you to start out with more than what we had. I want you to get more revelation even quicker than we did. And I believe we're going to see that. Yeah. People are grabbing a hold on to things of God. The things that have taken us 20 years to walk in, you're going to walk in them quickly. Yeah. Yes. That's what God has for you. And that's what we're praying and believing for you. Yeah. It's not about Pastor David and I. We're here to shepherd. We're here to feed you. But you got to grab a hold of it and eat for yourself. And you're going to be strengthened and you're going to grow. And it's not going to be because we're over here, like I always say, feeding you, feeding you in your mouth. It's not because we're spoon feeding you. It's we're saying, here's this pasture. That's why I'm telling you, look up these scriptures when you get home. You have to grab a hold of it yourself. You can listen to me all day long. But you could be like, I don't really like your style of preaching. That's all right. Just go to the Word. Yeah. Just go to the Word and get it for yourself. But here's this pasture. You go and you feed on it, and it's going to strengthen everything you have need of because each of you has something different. So he says, fear not. Go and do as I have said. And there's a whole other sermon in that. When a man or woman of God tells you to do something, do it because you respect authority. You know, when Pastor Kurt will say to Pastor David and I think this is what you need to do. Man, we obey. We submit to authority. Pastor Ronnie says this is what we need to be doing. Great, because we submit to that authority. So had she not listened to that man of God, what are you talking about? I'm not going to do that. I only have... No, she submitted, and watch what happens. Do not fear. Go and do as I have said. I love this part too. But make me a small cake from it first. So not only am I going to take it from you, but now you got to feed me first. You don't even get to have your cake to die. You got to feed me first. Come on. I love it. Whew. I'm having too much fun up here. Y'all will grab a hold of it eventually. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. but make me a small. You know why people can't have a good time? Because they've sat under religion for too long. You sat under religion for too long. Oh, I can't laugh. I can't be joyful. Oh, pastor, you're just being judgmental. No, if I'm stepping on your toes, that's not my problem. That's the Holy Ghost. Let him step on your toes. Let him step all over your feet and say, okay, Lord, change me. Yeah. Listen, pastor's preaching this morning. He's stepping on my toes. But I'm like, no, Lord, I have it. No, your preaching was good. That's what I mean. Okay, good. Like, but you gotta laugh. Listen, God did not say, come and sit there for a half hour. Oh, thee, I worship thee. Do you talk to anybody like that? Because if you have a relationship with somebody, if I start talking to you like that, please, like, just kick me out of the house. You don't do that. That's just religion. That, you know how many spouses I talk to, and I'm like, oh, well, what did your husband say about that? Oh, I don't know. I didn't want to bring it up to him. What are you talking about? You have relationship. You talk about everything. That's how it is with the Lord. Are you struggling with something? Talk to the Lord about it. You know, when we're in service, you can laugh. You can laugh.
Amen.
If you can't look at this and go, this is insanely ridiculous that this woman was going to die, and now you want her to give you her food,
yeah.
I don't know who you are. Because that makes me laugh. Because I think about, if I was that woman, I'd be like, you crazy. I need to die. I need to eat. I want my stomach to have some food on it before I die. And now you're telling me that I have to give you the kid. Now you have the audacity to tell me to cook for you first? Are you crazy? I don't know about you all, but I hide food in my house for my husband and my kids.
Yes, you do.
I do. I must think I'm in lack. When I could eat Twinkies, I had a whole stash hidden somewhere where people could not find them. And if someone found them, I get really upset. When Mason eats my gluten-free chicken nuggets, I get really upset. I'm not lying. I'm working on it. We're all human. Somebody drank all the half and half, and I could not put it in my coffee the other morning. It was very bad. So anyway, I'm just saying, this is why I laugh at these things. Maybe y'all are super spiritual, and you can just say, I don't get moved by that. I'm trying, but sometimes I do get moved by it. So anyway. So, Pastor, just be like Pastor Davidson, make me the gluten-free chicken nuggets, even though you only have one left. So, I know. Make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Y'all are weird. I know. It's okay. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. What do you mean afterward? I only got enough for one. What? All right. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. Woo! I went from having not enough to now I got overflow and it won't stop because I listened to the man of God and I made him and I walked in what he told me to do. And the suddenly of a strange man showing up and telling him to feed, for me to feed him. I got myself so worked up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Alicia, she's crazy. Yeah, you know what? I gave up a long time ago not to be crazy for the Lord. Because see, I get excited, and I want you to get excited, because there's too many people that are stuck in religion, and they're stuck in, I'm just not good enough. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
You're good enough because you got Jesus. He sees something in you.
Yeah.
He brought you to this place. You're not here by accident. And if you're like, well, I just don't know. Well, then you need to talk to the Lord, because he brought you here. So now it's time for you to just receive.
Come on.
Yeah. And then break out of the religion.
Yeah.
Break it. You can listen to 20 people that got doctorates of theology and they'll take the spirit right out of it. But I'm telling you to grab a hold of the relationship that the Lord wants with you.
Yeah.
Maybe he's coming to you and saying, give me your last $10. And you're like, well, I don't know how to do that. I only got $10 and I got to feed my family. Give me your $10 and watch what will happen. My uncle is going to make me weep. My great uncle, who told me everything about the Spirit, thank God. The suddenly, I always say the suddenly was when he drove by and saw my aunt standing out, my great aunt, and he picked her up on his motorcycle. And that was the end of it, on his Indian motorcycle. And that was the end of it, because I always told him he married my great aunt just so that he could be in my life, to be my spiritual dad. I believe the Lord gave him to our family just for me. Maybe there's other people in our family who feel that way, but I claim it for myself. When he was in Bible school, and my uncle was a dairy farmer too, and he actually got kicked out of the Methodist church because he was too free in the spirit. So if you think I'm crazy, you should have met him. And they were down to their last bit of money, and they had 5 children. And my aunt made a pie, and she set it on the windowsill.
and it was all they had. And somebody came by and gave him $5 for that pie. And everything changed after that. But she took her best and set it out. And then the Lord showed up and changed everything. Maybe it's the last bit that you have, but you got to give it to the Lord. You know? Maybe it's leaving when you don't quite understand. If you've ever seen your child have a stroke, it was the most heart-wrenching thing of my life. And all I could do was start thanking God for her healing, because I knew that God was my healer. And I knew that God would heal her. And when we went to that doctor, and he said she had a protein in her blood, and I was so mad. I said, no. And our pastor counseled me, and we went back, and that protein was gone. But I had to go to hospitals in Tulsa that were not like hospitals here. And I was angry at my husband for taking me there, because I had to go to places in the city that scared me, and I had to take my kid there. But God was with me. But God made a way. And the Lord brought us back around. And when she was 5 years old, I took her to the doctor in Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. And I still thank God. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God always turns around for good. Yes. And God always has a sense of humor. And we went to that Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, and we saw the same exact doctor that had seen her after her stroke. My daughter, when she had her stroke, they had so many meetings at DuPont for her, because they told me she either had a stroke or she had a brain tumor. That's all I know for 4 to 6 weeks. I had to take her every single week to give blood to DuPont. And when we went to Children's Hospital and they took that scan of her brain and they said that spot is completely gone and no one would ever even know she had a stroke, I just started praising God and weeping. Because God is so good. She doesn't even have a lasting effect from that stupid stroke, which the enemy brought right at the time that we decided to go become pastors. And that was the suddenly that the enemy tried to bring, but God had a better suddenly. God had a better plan. Amen. And see, when you know your God and you know what he's speaking to you, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you and the suddenly he tries to throw at you, it will not stop you. It will not stop you. For us, all it did was make us dig our heels in to get on that plane to go to Tulsa.
Yes.
I could tell you things that people said to me, but I won't, because I won't uncover their ignorance. But if you don't think that there weren't more temptations thrown my way, if you don't think people said to me, you don't need to believe what the Bible says, or what about Rhema? Rhema is a Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled church that people don't understand. People thought we were going to join a cult. People attacked us. Other Christians attacked us. Everybody thought we were crazy, terrible parents for taking her. We couldn't get health insurance, because you can't get health insurance when someone has a stroke, pre-existing condition. We couldn't do any of that. And all I had to do was just keep going forward. We didn't have money to pay for our bills sometimes, but God. But God, that one suddenly changed everything. But then we had to keep pressing in. Yeah. The enemy will come at you and want you to give up and quit. What about people I hear about suddenly? Their marriage was on the brink of ruins. And then suddenly, God said, get to church. And everything changed for them. Come on. Amen. What is it that you need a suddenly for? What is it that the Lord, maybe the Lord has put you in a place. The Lord's calling you here. Do you know how many people stop coming after a few times? Well, I just don't know. Yeah, but God called you here. He has something for you. He wants to change the trajectory. He has something better for you. Don't be afraid of God. Yes, it will cause your life to change. My life changed drastically. Do you know what most of my life changed? My flesh. Mm-hmm. I had to get over myself. I was so mad at this man. I'm telling you the good things that came out of the suddenly, but I'm not telling you the struggle I went through to get to the suddenly. And it was hard, but I had to constantly put my flesh under and trust the Lord, because it's only my flesh that wanted to turn around. But I was angry. He took me away from everything, and it really wasn't him, it was the Lord. but I projected it onto him. But then the Lord had to deal with me. And the Lord finally said to me one day, I don't know what your problem is, but you can get on board or you can get left behind. Because I saw where this man was going, and I'm attached to him. And now I wasn't going to leave him, but I could get left behind spiritually. And I made a decision right then I wasn't, because the Lord spoke it to me. And I had to hear it for the Lord. I didn't do it for him. I didn't do it for anybody but for God, because God had a plan for me too. He has a plan for you.
That's right.
He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. Mm-hmm. But it will require you, and I'm telling you, because I feel it so strong in my spirit, in this time right now, and what is happening, your flesh is going to get angry. Your flesh is going to get riled up. There are things you don't understand. And I will help you as much as I can. But there are things that I don't understand right now. But the Lord is saying, come with me. But you have to surrender your flesh. You have to crucify your flesh and say, Lord, all that you have for me, I am willing and I am ready to go with you. And watch and see what the Lord will do. I am not the same person I was when I left to go to Bible school. I am, praise God is right, you probably wouldn't have liked me. I'm not the same person. And I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 21 days ago.
Yes.
I got news for you. I've still had to surrender my flesh. Come on. But every time I surrender, God has something. You know what? A lot of times the surrendering is because you have a hurt and you need healing there. And we don't want to let the Lord come in and heal it, because that is the vulnerable spot. I don't want to talk about it. Sometimes my husband will have conversations with me. I go, I don't want to talk about that right now. I can't talk about that right now. And he always wants to press and press and press. I'm like, ugh. God has those moments with you. But you need to say, you know what, Lord, I'm broken. I need you to heal this place. And your healing is going to come quick. As soon as you surrender, your healing is coming quick.
Yes.
It's coming quick because the Lord has a work for you to do. He has a work for you to do, and he wants you healed and whole. And if you believe a lie, I'll always be broken, you got to get rid of that lie. God came to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up, okay, their wounds. Paraphrase. But God has it for you. He wants you whole. I don't care what your childhood looked like. I don't care what your marriage looked like. I see marriages being restored. I see marriages being strengthened as you surrender. I see you having marriages like you never anticipated. I see relationships with your families being restored. Come on. I see you touching nations. Woo! The Lord keeps speaking to me, nations. He has nations for this church. But he has a work for you to do. It's not about Pastor David and I and Pastor Joe and Kelly. It's not about that. Or even what Pastor Tim and Pastor Caleb are doing, because they're still part of us. It's not about just them. You have a part to play. You know, I think about Lauren starting the children. It's been chugging on her, moving on her. She gets it going. Man is speaking. I walk, oh, whew, praise God. And the kids are getting touched, right? Miss Jeannie with the hospitality. We need to greet everybody. We need to do this. Great, do it. You have a part too. You have something churning on the inside of you, and God has a plan. Now, if you come tell us, and Pastor and I say, maybe not yet, just hang tight. Just serve where you can, but the Lord will work it out. You let the Lord do it. But don't just come and think, well, this is great. They're all so nice, and they got a lot of stuff going. No, God has something for you to do too, because you're to be used of God.
Amen.
You are special, and he's got something only you can do. And suddenly, oh, wait, I never finished that. Hold on. Okay, go back. Okay, the bin of oil was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke. I'm going to stop there, because I want to go here. Matthew 9. She ain't bothering anybody. We love it. She's beautiful. They're all good. Oh, that was the other one in the back. We love it. I don't want anybody to ever think they have to go because of the babies. We love hearing the babies. Hearing babies means the church is growing. And it means we have generations coming through. And let me tell you, my kids used to fall asleep under the anointing. My kids stayed in every church service, even those ones that go to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I want my kids to be in that. I want your kids to be in the anointing, because it will touch them and change them.
Yes.
Matthew 9:20. And suddenly, Kelly doesn't even know it, but she put on an altar song. Suddenly, I had it in my spirit. This morning, I woke up, I saw it. I said, yes, the Holy Spirit is just moving right through us. I love it. So good. Woo! See, when you flow in the Holy Spirit, you'll be linked right up to everybody else around you. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. She had to make a decision that suddenly, even though she could have been killed, Jesus is walking in the streets, and I'm going. Yeah. She didn't know Jesus was coming. She suddenly had to make a decision to go in there. Then she had to make a decision. I'm going to press through the crowds, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment because he has something I need. You have to make a decision quickly. When you're like, I know you have something I need. Let me tell you, the hem of his garment is here right now. All you have to do is reach up, grab a hold of the hem of his garment, and just receive everything he has for you. Maybe it's a physical healing you need. Maybe it's an emotional healing you need. But he's got it all for you right here, right now. All you have to do is receive. I was healed in a meeting exactly like this from lupus. All I did was just sitting there worshiping God, and bam. And you know, sometimes I believe the healings come like this quicker because you're not overthinking it. Because it's already here. Healing has already been paid for. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. All you have to do is reach out and receive it. And suddenly my healing came. Suddenly. I had been in every prayer line you can imagine. I had prayed and been on my face. But suddenly my healing came. The doctors can't explain it. I take no medication anymore. I have some after effects, but let me tell you, they go into, because they can't stay either. Last night, I was laid out on the floor from a back spasm, and the enemy's like, you should just let Pastor David preach. You should just go ahead, because I literally could not move my arm at all. Pastor David, he's over praying over me in tongues, rebuking it, and I'm screaming because the pain is that strong. But I was doing my nails, girls, and I was like, I got to get up and finish my nails. I can't have this nonsense. And so I was like, enemy, you found, devil, get off of me. Listen, I'm telling you, it's important. It's real. But he's like, don't move. And I'm like, oh, I'm moving. I am moving. Not just for my nails, but then he was like, you should, and I know you meant it well. He was like, you got to go lay down. I said, I am not laying down because I am not sick. Because I am healed, and this muscle spasm isn't going to get me. And every time I would move, I'd scream, and he'd come running. I'd be like, no, I'm okay. I just got to let out a little grunt. I'm okay, you know. And he would come running. Are you okay? I said, just leave me alone. I'm okay. But I was like, I got to keep moving. And look now. Move my arm. Come on. Because I was pressing in. Now, when you get sick, you can lay down and die if you want to. But I decided not to. And when I had lupus, I would preach up here, and you never know I was in pain. Pastor David would have had to carry me from my bed that morning because it was that bad. But I wasn't going to stop preaching. I wasn't going to stop coming to church. Nothing was keeping me back because sickness is not mine. So even when the symptoms come, I'm moving through them because it's not for me. You have to make decisions quickly. In Matthew 4:18. You know, you're like, oh, wow, what time is it? I don't really care what time it is because the anointing is here. And you can make a decision to receive everything that God has for you. Or you can make a decision, I got to get home and eat. My stomach's starting. We'll chew on the good food right here. Because we're not done yet. Because I believe healings are coming through this message. I see things. And see, this is where the suddenlies happen. Because we usually go about 12:30. So our suddenlies are probably 12:31. They might be 1:01. I don't know. But, come on. You know, I paid attention every night during prayer and fasting. How long do we go? Because, see, when people get hung up in time, they'll start checking out at a certain time. Well, it's like 12:28. She's hopefully going to wrap it up. Or you say, wow, I'm just going to receive all that I have. Now, none of you are like that because you love to receive and you never look at the time. You never think about the grocery store and the bills and everything else you got going on. Anyway, Matthew 4:18. Are you there?
Yeah.
Amen. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Do you know what fisherman means in Greek? Fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? They pondered. They worked out their bank account because they were business owners. They worked out their spreadsheet, the profit and loss. Can we make this happen? No. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Yep. Immediately. The blessing is in the immediately. Now, I will tell you that there's been times that the Lord will tell. Pastor David has always said when he worked a full-time job, I like to give 3 months notice because he doesn't, that's just the type of man he is. The Lord has always told him 3 months before he was supposed to leave what he's to tell him. And that's just something him and the Lord have worked out. But sometimes you have to do it immediately. When the Lord called us to ministry, immediately the next day we told his family. We had no plan. We had no clue what we were doing. And immediately I told my parents. Immediately. So immediately they cast their net, they left their nets, and they followed him. Now, they had business. They were fishermen. They had a business. They walked away and left it immediately. And what happened? They became one of the 12 disciples. They were the ones that got to walk closely with Jesus. Because in that suddenly moment, somebody's just walking along. Hey, follow me. Well, you did kind of do that, though, didn't you? Without me saying it. But immediately they followed him and forsook everything to follow after him. Did they ever regret it? If they did, the Bible doesn't talk about it. Was Peter perfect? You got to study out Peter, man, sometime. We always pick on Peter. You got to study him out sometime. Peter was far from perfect. Jesus rebuked him. But he was still one of the 12. And it all started with the suddenly of Jesus walking by and saying, come follow me. And something spoke to him. Something spoke to you when you decided to either come to church, when you decided to receive the Lord as your Savior. Something happened on the inside. And you decided, yes, I'll follow you. And maybe things have kept you away. Maybe you haven't dove all in the river. But I'm telling you, for the next 3 years, if you're not dived in the river, dove in the river, swimming in the river, whatever the right word is, I don't know, jumping in the river, it's going to be hard. You got to be in the flow of the river. God sent the Holy Spirit for a reason. That's a whole other sermon I'm not going to get onto. They had to make a decision very quick. And then in Acts 2:2, I'm going to go here about Peter. In Acts 2:2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. What it doesn't talk about in that verse is they had to go and wait in the upper room. Maybe you've been waiting for your upper room experience. You don't have to wait anymore. Yeah. It's here right now. Your suddenly is here. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. All you have to do is receive. Lord, thank you, because Peter's life changed. If you would study out Peter before he was filled with the Holy Ghost and after, different guy. He became very stable. He wasn't moved by his emotions. Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you that in Acts 2:14. It says, this is Peter, the same Peter that Jesus rebuked, the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times, and suddenly he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything changes in Peter of who he is. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, now this is the other thing, raised his voice. He quivered when a little girl asked him if he knew Jesus after Jesus was crucified. But now all of a sudden he's raising his voice. That suddenly of the upper room experience, that suddenly of being baptized with the Holy Ghost and endued with power, changed him. If you're like, I feel so unstable, I feel like I don't know what to do, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes. If you've already had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you need to say, Lord, pour it out afresh on me. Yes. Because I know I have the Holy Ghost, and I will not be timid. I will be bold. Yes. I am stable in Jesus' name. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And you skip down to verse 41. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. That suddenly, of having that upper room experience, and then 3,000 lives were changed because of what he did. What is it that the Lord has given you a suddenly for? What is it that the Lord is stirring on the inside of you? Maybe you've already obeyed. But maybe in obeying, you've grumbled and complained. Lord, you said this, but it didn't happen. And Lord, you said this, but it didn't happen. See, you're talking yourself out of the blessing. You got to switch it to say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you have the plan. Thank you, Lord, that you have the provision. Just like the woman that was ready to die, I will not die because I am following your instruction. I have done what you've spoken to me to do, and I'll have overflow, and I'll have more than enough, and I have boldness, whatever it is. And if you haven't done it yet, whatever the Lord is speaking to you, then you need to repent. Lord, I haven't been faithful to do what you've told me to do. Lord, I don't even know how to do it, but I surrender. When we left the farm, Pastor David came to me and said, well, I'm just going to go work for your dad, because my dad is a grain farmer too. And I said, no, because God doesn't take you from the exact same thing to the other thing that's exactly the same. God isn't calling you from the dairy farm to the grain farm. Is something not right? No, we got to get a little more working it out. And it was a couple days before we knew what we were supposed to do, but something in me said, yeah, no. I would love that idea, but no. So whatever the Lord is speaking to you to do, you need to just say, Lord, I don't understand it. We didn't know we were going to Bible school. All we knew was, can't sign the deal, something's happening. So that's what we went with. Lord, I received that. Okay, Lord, I will do that. The Lord told me to homeschool my kids. Yeah, I don't want to do that, first of all. Second of all, I don't even know how to do that. I can't even, no. But yes, Lord, I'll do it. That's a whole other story, yeah. Because I knew it would change the generations to come. The Lord had a plan. Not only did it change my family's generations, it's changing other generations. Because now the Lord calls people to me to help them homeschool. So now their generations are being changed. Yes. And I'm not against public school. Disclaimer, I'm not against public school. I am against you not doing what the Lord tells you to do. When not doing what the Lord tells you to do, you miss out on the blessing and it becomes a hard road. So I just want you to lift your hands. And I'm going to say this, but if you can put that instrumental on that you had earlier, that'd be great. I like that high. Hold on. And stand to your feet. And this is for you online as well. So don't go off yet. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm telling you to stand and lift your hands, but I'm not telling you have to say what I'm going to tell you to say. Because here's what I know. This is not a religious place. I grew up in a religious place where you had to repeat and all these things. And I don't believe in doing that just to do it. So if you're just saying it because you're like, well, Pastor Lacey said to say it and I should say it. No, this has to come from your heart. It's no different than the person that says the salvation prayer, but they don't really believe in their heart. If you don't really believe it in your heart, then you're just giving lip service. And God is not about lip service. God is about your heart. So my challenge to you today is, first of all, to surrender completely. And I feel the Lord saying there's some self-made people in here. Some people that everything they have is because they feel like, well, I did this. I can't surrender that to the Lord. I can't do that because what will happen? Well, then you need to repent for not trusting the Lord. Because you have to make a decision to trust him. And the first way to do that is to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And that's a very simple prayer. You just say, and you don't have to repeat this. If you're saved, you don't have to say it. But I want to do it for the people online and anybody here that needs to. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you that you've set me free. Thank you that you died for me and that you rose again for me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you, Lord. So that's the first step, because you got to receive him into your heart. But then you have to make a decision to surrender it all. And when I say surrender it all, I mean all. I mean the plan that you thought you had, surrender it. The desires that you have, put it on the altar. And watch what the Lord is going to do. Because now you're taking your life out of your own plan in your own hand, and you're saying, Lord, I'm surrendering it all to you. Lord, I know that you have a better plan. I know that you will direct my steps. And you're like, well, I've already done that. Well, praise God. Then you're already ready for the next step. Because what we're going to do is we're going to make a declaration. But if you're not fully surrendered, if you're like, Lord, I just can't trust you in that. And I'm not saying that condemning the way it just came across. I'm saying if you're not ready for that, that's fine. You go back and you listen to this later when you're ready to do it and you make the declaration, because there's no judgment. Listen, I've been in places like that where I've said to even Pastor David, I can't handle you praying for me right now. My heart is not right. You have to be honest, because God knows your heart. He understands. So you just have to give and surrender. If you're in a place of total brokenness, then you just, this is your cry. Lord, I'm broken. And I don't know. I don't even know how to trust you because I've been so hurt. I don't know how to trust all these things that this preacher is talking about. But I need help. And that can be the only prayer you pray today. I need help. But then you must expect that the Lord is coming to help you because he will. Because he is faithful. So if you're ready to make the declaration where you're going to surrender it all, this is what we're going to repeat. Thank you, Lord. For what you have for me. That you have blessings. Looking for me. That you already know. The steps I need to take. I am surrendered. To your plan. Today. I choose. And I am ready. For the suddenlies. I'm expecting. The suddenlies. I will not back down. I will not go backwards. I will only go forwards, and I will only trust in you, not man's riches, not what anybody else says, only what you have. Thank you, Lord, that everything that you have for me is good and overflowing. I will not accept lack, sickness, disease, poverty. In Jesus' name, I will only walk in wholeness, health, and overflow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you believe it, give the Lord a shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us online. Now, we're going to play this song suddenly. And I want you all to just receive it. And then if anybody needs prayer, sorry, I forgot to say that.